Good morning. Welcome. Let me add my welcome to Joel's. I'm Joel Edwards, the pastor or the vicar here. If there's a few people who I'm... Maybe there isn't. Maybe I have met everyone. If you're new this week, please say hello to me. If you're not on my regular email list and you'd like to get my weekly email, please fill in the contact form. They're available at the back there on the little wooden table. If you've got little children who might find it too difficult to listen to me for 15 minutes, there's a room just on the left there where you can go, and you can still hear the talk, but there's a bit more space for your child. One more thing I should say is I'm not able to go to the men's convention next week. I hope you have a great time, the men who are going. I'm due to be in Asia by then, ready to teach on a preaching conference. So do please pray for that. Mark, if people want to contribute to the cost for that, they can just put an offering, money in the offering with a note on, can they, to say?
Yeah, there's a couple of envelopes that can be used. Say if they just want to use that envelope.
Terrific.
Put some money in there. If they want to give dated, just put your name there and just kind of a little note to say that you're a taxpayer and you're kind of arrange for that.
Could you stand up so people can see who you are? And if you'd rather make a bank transfer, then you can do that and then speak to Mark about that. Thank you. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm actually going to begin at verse 3, although it says 5 on the screen. So if you've got the page, hopefully, I'm going to begin at verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Now, it's quite a lot of ideas in this next section. We're gonna think about them again in a bit, so don't worry if you get a bit lost, but we'll read through 6 to 10. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to us as well. Sorry, to give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So please keep that Bible passage open. We're going to look at it again to try to understand what God is teaching us there. But before that, I want to have a couple of people to come up and to show us how much endurance they've got. I've got an endurance, a strength competition, probably for people between 8 and 14 would be a good age range. But if we can't find two people like that, let's have some other age. Are you going to have a go, Lords? Yeah, terrific. There's one. Someone else willing to come into the competition? There's a chocolate bar as a prize for the winner. Lord, come and stand on the chair, can you? You going to come up? Yeah, excellent, well done. Great, right, this is the test. I'll show you the prize first, shall I? Do you like picnic chocolate bars? Okay, he's not as committed, is he? Anyway, that's the prize. Here's the challenge. You take one of those in each hand. Do you want red or yellow? Got yellow. You want red? You don't get a choice, you get yellow. Okay, now, stretch out your arms straight like this, and we're going to see how long they last, okay? What have we got? I'll start my watch now. Right. It's tough, isn't it? Nice and straight. Straight on both arms. Lord's is about to pop. Shall I let her off? Who's going to last longest? Oh! She managed. Okay, have a seat. Well done. Round of applause for both of them. Great. Take your chocolate bar. Right, there's another chocolate bar. Just to show, there's another chocolate bar. This may be for people a bit older, for another challenge. This is not a strength challenge. This is another endurance challenge. I'm happy for adults to come forward for this one. I'll get the stuff ready. And you can find out what you're going to do when you get here. Don't worry, I'm not going to inject anyone, anything like that. Need some water. Is anyone coming? Did it look that hard? None of you's going to try. Come on. Oh, well done, Lara. Give Lara a round of applause. And we need one other person to compete with her. So I've got a... You're going... Well done. You can come forward. Victoria. Well, so here is a challenge. This is different from a strength challenge. This is a different sort of endurance. What are you doing here? You're holding your hands in ice and a glass of ice water for as long as you can. Touch your finger down to the bottom of the glass, okay? And let's see how they can. I'll start my watch now. This is easy, she says. This is easy. See if you can get to 2 minutes, okay? That's 10 seconds. Apparently, it's really hard to get to 2 minutes. Did you know that? This is an endurance thing. Our bodies do not like cold. How are you doing, Beth? Is it starting to hurt? It hurts when it's cold, doesn't it? You know, if you go out in the winter and you don't have gloves on, it really, you can feel it on your fingers. That's what they're doing at the moment. It's an endurance. There we go. We're at half a minute, and neither of them are looking bothered. I think they're going to end up sharing this chocolate bar at the moment at this rate, aren't they?
I could share it with Susan.
No, are you feeling any pain?
No.
Well, I should have tested this on myself, shouldn't I, before we did this?
Yeah, you should have done.
Yeah, well, we're at 50 seconds now. There we go. You've got another minute, and then you'll have to share the prize. I don't know. Another endurance thing I thought we could do, whilst we're just waiting for one of these ladies to crumple, is to see who can endure the most of my jokes. But Karen's already won because she's coped with that for 30 years. So she gets a chocolate bar. How are your fingers feeling?
All right.
These ladies are tough, aren't they? That's a minute 20, another 40 seconds. Yeah. Maybe I'm making it too easy by giving them the countdown. Okay, well, here's a joke. What do you call a donkey that's only got 3 legs?
I don't know.
A wonky. They're that good. It's unendurable. That makes you feel uncomfortable, doesn't it? My joke. 15 seconds to go. They're both doing it. They're both enduring. Is one of them going to break? Now I've said it so little, they're going to hang on, aren't they? Great. Okay, we'll give them a round of applause. Well done, both of you. You can take your hands out now. I want to dry your hands and then share the glass, share the towel.
Thank you,
guys. Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Where's the chocolate bar? There's a prize. You can share that with Lara. Okay, round of applause for both of them. Okay, why did we do that? Why did we do that little competition? Well done to all of those 4 competitors. That was very good. We say it's good to keep going, don't we? We say it's good to keep going. Don't give up. Don't be a quitter. Look at the athlete. She keeps going, training, practicing, straining in the event. We saw that in the Olympics. Look at the student. He works and works. He practices. He studies. He revises. Look at the patient. Keeps getting to the appointments, taking the medicine, doing the exercises if they've got the physio. Keep going, is what we say to people. Well, Paul has written this letter to some early believers, and they were keeping going. They were keeping going in difficulties. It's there in verse 4. Paul says, "Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring." So perseverance is a word for keeping going. They're keeping going in difficulties. Persecutions is when people are treating them badly. That means discrimination against the Christians in the classroom or in the workplace or in the family. It means hassle. It means bullying. It means harassment. In some countries, persecution can mean church buildings being closed. It can mean church buildings being burnt down. It can mean pastors being put in prison, meetings being banned. Jesus also talks about persecution being when people criticize us and abuse us. They laugh at us or make rude comments. People at work say that you're an idiot to be a Christian. And Paul says, you keep going, you're persevering. And he boasts about it, he says, verse 4. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance. Look at those Christians in Thessalonica. Look at how much they're going through. And they've not given up, is what Paul says. Next thing Paul says, a bit surprising. Verse 5. Do you notice what is surprising here? All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. Do you see the surprise there? The Christians are being persecuted and suffering, but they're keeping going. That doesn't look like God's judgment is right. When we see Christians suffering, we say, well, that's not fair. Why doesn't God do something? But Paul is saying that makes him think God's judgment is right. Well, let's look a bit more to try and understand this. There's two groups of people. You're going to have to answer some questions. There's two groups of people in verse 6 and 7. Who are they? Who are the two kinds of people in verse 6? I'll read it. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. So who are the two kinds of people in those verses? I'll read it again. Verse 6, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those to you who are troubled. Go on, Grace. Those who... Yeah, that's the one group. Those who are causing the trouble. And who's the other group? The people who are having the trouble. So can we have a slide up, please, Eniola? Here we go. Two groups. Those who cause the trouble and those who suffer the trouble. They mention again in verses 8 and in verse 10, so let's see how they're described there. Verse 8, God, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And then verse 10, on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. So here's the group in verse 8. What's it say about them? Now, what's it say? Who are they? Who are they? Yeah, they don't know God. They don't believe the gospel. So, anyway, the next slide. Sorry, go forward. That's it. They don't obey the gospel. And then the second group, next slide, they are the people who do believe the gospel in verse 10. So, to say there's just two groups, but they're different ways to explain who they are. So, the first group of the people who are causing trouble, they're the people who don't believe the gospel. The second group of the people who are having trouble, they're the believers who believe the gospel. Well, what will happen to them? Let's go back to verse 6. What will happen to the people causing trouble, does verse 6 say? What does verse 6 say will happen to the people causing trouble? Joel? Sorry? Who will pay back? Yeah, God will pay back trouble to them. So can we have that? Next slide. The two futures. If you go back one slide, I don't think it's all that. There we go. Those who cause trouble. Next slide. Oh, it's everything is there. They will suffer trouble. Those, the other group, God will count them worthy. The first group, it says down in verse 8, that the people who cause trouble will be punished and shut out. But the second group who believe, they will be with Jesus. You see, it's separated on two halves of the screen. So we've got two groups of people, the people who are causing trouble and the people who are suffering trouble. The people who cause trouble don't believe the gospel. They're saying no to God. And the people who are being troubled are the believers. What will happen in the future? The people who cause trouble, God will give them trouble. They will be shut out from God's presence and punished. But the people who are having trouble, who believe in the gospel, God will count them worthy. And they will be with Jesus. Is that clear? Yeah, those two different kinds of people, and there were two futures going to happen. All right? So the people who do not know God and say no to the message about Jesus are the people who are causing trouble. And the people who do trust in Jesus and are having trouble are the second group, what we call Christians or believers. Well, look again at verse 5. What does Paul say about this? All this keeping going that the Christians are doing, all your keeping going is evidence that God's judgment is right. The difference between these two groups shows that at the end, God's judgment is right. God allows his people to suffer now, and that makes them know he's getting them ready for that last day. You see, in this world hates Jesus. And so if we're people who belong to Jesus, they will give us trouble. So this world hates Jesus. If we belong to Jesus, this world will give us trouble now. And the ones who say no to Jesus and cause trouble for his people in the end, they will have trouble from God. That's what the Bible is telling us. Different things will happen to these groups in the future. And Paul says, this is how we know that God is right. Because the people who are causing trouble now, we know that in the end they will be punished. And the people who are having trouble now, in the end, if they're having trouble for being Christians, God will welcome them to be with him. Now people will say, hold on. How can that happen if Jesus came for forgiveness? How can God shut people out and punish them? Because we've learned, didn't we, the story Joel reminded us of from Luke about the father who said to his son who came back, you're welcome, you know, come back and I want to give you my forgiveness. So how can it say now that God is going to punish people and shut them out? That's what it does say. Look in verse 9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. Well, the reason it's right for that to happen is when people do something wrong, it must be punished. If there's no punishment for people who do wrong, it's not justice. It's not good. And it couldn't be right for God to ignore people doing bad things and just shrugging about evil. It must be paid back. If he didn't pay it back, it would mean he doesn't care. Yeah. But the great news that we've thought about is Jesus comes and makes a way of forgiveness, because we all deserve to have that trouble. We all deserve to have that trouble. But Jesus has come to make a way for forgiveness. Some people say no to Jesus. I don't want to trust Jesus. I think you Christians are stupid, is what they say. And they say worse things than that. Well, they will have to pay. Because God made the way, he's made the way for forgiveness, and they said, I don't want that way for forgiveness. And so they will have to pay themselves. So that's why it's just. In our world now, the people who laugh at Jesus seem to be strong. They seem to be right. They seem to be wise. But God says that in the end, those people will lose. And Jesus will be glorified and marveled at. That means people will recognize his goodness. The people who believed in him will recognize how good he is. When will that happen? Now, why doesn't it happen? Why doesn't it happen? Well, the Bible tells us when it will happen. Verse 7. This is about what God will do. God will give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen. When will it happen? When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. We know from that verse it's going to be amazing. We can't imagine it, but it's going to be amazing. And that's when it will happen. And the Bible says other things about it. It says when Jesus comes back, the universe will change. All things will be mended. There'll be no worrying about global warming. Our children are always made to worry in school about global warming. There won't be any worrying about global warming. There'll be no wars, terrible wars that we watch on our news at the moment, aren't there? That'll finish. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no fear. Are you looking forward to that? It's amazing. The people who suffer with sadness and anxiety and loneliness and upset, that it'll all be gone for them. Well, what must this mean for us today? Lots of lessons for us today. Can we have the next slide? 2 Thessalonians, God's justice is right. And so the first thing from verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you. So we should keep this in mind when we Christians pray. When we come to our Heavenly Father to pray, one of the things we should be thinking about is there will come a day, the judgment day, when all the wickedness will be judged and cast away. We sing that and we should think about it when we're praying. Do you think about these things when you pray? Often our prayers are just about today, and my bad shoulder, or that difficult thing at work. But Paul says we should also pray about this great day that's going to come. We should pray about it, Mark, when you're choosing songs for church. Others who come and lead us in prayer for the beginning of church, in front of church, you should think about this great day when we lead prayers. And when we go over to the hall afterwards and talk about and have coffee and we talk about life choices and situations we're in, we should be thinking about that future day. Next. Believe the gospel. Are you a believer? Believe the gospel. The gospel says Jesus is the king. And you must admit that. And because he's the king, he will judge everyone's lives. He will judge everyone's lives. But he also says, you can have life with me if you ask for forgiveness. The people who say no, they reject the offer of forgiveness. They're saying, I'm going the way of death instead of the way of life. And when Jesus comes back, it will be bad for them. But if you're a believer, remember the gospel. The gospel is saying, one day that will come. Yeah, no, there's no prosperity gospel here. Not this morning, not any Sunday morning. We're not saying you're going to be rich this week. You want a swimming pool? Pray to Jesus, you can have it. It's not there, is it? It's saying look forward to that day. That's what we're looking forward to. So, keep going. Keep going. We children get taught at school, keep going, it's good to keep going. Don't be a quitter. It's not good to keep going if the thing you're doing is no good. Now, the athlete keeps going because they want to finish the race. The student keeps going because they want to do the best in their exam. The patient keeps going with the treatment because they want to get better. There needs to be a good reason to keep going. Paul doesn't just say, oh, look at those Christians. They're such tough guys. They keep going, whatever. They can keep their hand in a glass of ice for more than 2 minutes. Yeah. Well, maybe there's a chocolate bar in it for you. But you know, what's the point of keeping going doing these things? Keep going as a Christian because that day will come. Keep going when you have trouble for being a believer. Maybe people laugh at you. Maybe they are unkind or unfair. Maybe you have difficulties at work simply because you're a believer and you've said, I don't think we should lie. We've said, I don't think we should follow that policy because it's harmful to people. And you've spoken up as a Christian and it's caused you trouble. Keep going. Last thing. One before last. Keep meeting with each other. And the next slide is the Bible verse for that. This is from Hebrews. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. That's the day we've been reading about. As you Christians look forward to that day that's coming, don't stop coming to church. We need to keep meeting because we're looking forward to that day. And this is the last, I think. Yeah, don't live for things that will not last. And we've got a Bible verse for that. A bit longer here. Do not store up, this is what Jesus said. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this is saying, Jesus is saying here, don't live your whole life for things that are going to wear out. Things. Illustration this week's a strange illustration. Karen and I both had a horrible cold this week, so we got the medicine out, the cold and flu medicine, and actually it says on it, it's going to wear out by June 2023. Doesn't matter, still got the same stuff in it, so I tried it, and you know, I took some at bedtime on Monday night, I think it was, didn't work. It's right, you know what it says on the label is actually right, I never knew that. Medicines do run out. Things in this world run out, they wear out, cars break down, clothes get worn out, our bodies get sick, houses burn down or fall down or have all sorts of other problems. Don't live. Jesus is not saying houses are bad, not saying money's bad, he's saying living your life for money is bad, living your life for your house is bad, living your life for your clothing is bad. Don't live your life for these things, they're going to wear out. Live your life for the future that's coming. And enjoy the things that you can in this life. If you can enjoy a good car, if you can enjoy nice clothes, good to enjoy them and thank God for that. But don't live for them. So, well done those who held out their arms. Well done those who kept their hands in the ice glass. But the Bible is telling us, keep going as believers. Keep meeting together. Keep doing these things. Because we know that day is coming. So have a moment's thought, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Paul says, with this in mind, we pray for you. Heavenly Father, please make all of us have this great future in our minds as we live our lives in this world. Thank you so much that there is a day when wickedness will be cast away, when evildoers will be punished, when all sickness will finish, when believers will be able to see Jesus. These are such wonderful things. Please, Lord, let them affect our lives and affect us together as a church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.